Blog Talk Radio.
This the place to come where we all can address the issue. Debating different topics, bring friends and family with you. You can say what you want, speak whatever you feel. When Lizzie May and Tay in the building,
it's what?
It's real.
Talk Radio.
What is up? It is It's Real Talk Radio, and I am your host, Lizzie May. And I have a guest co-host with me tonight. Corey, you there?
Yes, darling, I'm here. How are you?
I'm great. It's been a long time.
I know.
What's been going on?
Well, you know, the usual. I've been super busy. Just had a book come out on the 1st of March, so I've been really pushing that and pushing the new book, that the new projects I've got coming out, working on Into Temptation. Just had a birthday. It's just been...
Oh, well, happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
And congrats on your book.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. So, there's been a lot of stuff been going on this week.
Yes.
We had the whole big thing with Prince and him dying. I was really shocked. Really, really, really shocked to hear about him. I think he was in his 50s.
I think he was 57?
Yeah, like that. That's what I...
Hello?
Yeah, I think he was 57, and supposedly, what they said that he had, like, the flu. And that's all I really heard, is that he had the flu. He's been sick for a while.
Yeah, they've had some rumors going around about him potentially being addicted to Percocet. And I said if he was, and I'm not saying he wasn't or that he was, I'm just saying if that was, people have to understand, I don't think it was a malicious thing. I don't think he was using them to get high. But I can clearly remember in the 90s, in the 80s, Prince always had on heels. And, you know, not having the technology we have now where most girls wear a platform under the heel to elevate their foot and keep it from, he was wearing heels, the arch of his foot, he was dancing in them, jumping and bumping and flipping and flopping, and hell, that was just the videos. We don't even know what the shows look like for 20 years. So we're talking at the bare minimum, bad feet, bad hips, bad knees. Shit, I'd be addicted to Percocet too. I mean, and that's not, so I'm not, you know, I don't think he was a drug addict by any stretch of the imagination. I legitimately think that he might have been in pain because, you know, like I said, dancing and flipping and flopping. Beyonce better sit her ass down somewhere talking about Lemonade. She's bouncing, do some flipping and flopping in heels too.
Yeah.
Girl, have a seat. Yes, I am. I'm still in mourning, remembering my first Prince moment. My time with him. He's like a lover. I would say that's a bad mother. You got to be a bad. Anytime you could steal a chick away from her man while wearing her shoes.
Yeah.
You got to be a badass to do that. You can't. Like, Prince could walk up on you, take your man, take your chick while wearing her shoes.
He was a he was a slender one. I don't know, but when I see him dress for the very first time, I always thought Prince was gay. I really, really did. I really did until...
I never caught that vibe from him. Never once. Like, and in the 90s, in 91, when I became aware of him, that was the Diamonds and Pearls album. So I'm talking like from Sexy Motherfucker to you know, Cream to Diamonds and Pearls to Get Off. Those were my first memories of him. I remember the heels, and I just kept thinking, oh, my God. That's all. I wanted to sing all his stuff. I was 8. I should not have been singing about 23 positions in a one-night stand at 8, but I was. And in the 90s, you know, it's not like now, you know, in the 90s, wasn't no grown man wearing no damn heels, but... I was always very mesmerized, always very taken aback from him. And people always said, I thought he was gay. Like, I'm one of the kinkiest people you'll probably ever meet. Never thought that he was gay.
I stopped believing that he was gay when I seen the movie Purple Rain. That's what changed my outlook. I was like, he's smooth with it. He got a real, real quiet, feminine voice, but he was smooth.
Oh, he was androgynous from head to toe.
Yeah.
But he was, for him to have been, if he was a gay man, he was surrounded by way too many bad bitches to have been a gay man.
You're right.
Just, no. And because of my mourning of Prince, this whole Beyonce Lemonade thing, that's going to have to wait a couple weeks before I put my hands on it. You and your Lemonade can have a seat for a bit. She's a genius, though.
But she is married to a genius itself. Like, Jay-Z is a genius.
Yeah, like that was brilliant. I have to give her that. I haven't watched it. I haven't heard it. But just from a businesswoman standpoint, from a marketing standpoint, I'm like, top notch. You are a genius. Got to give you that.
Yeah. So, do you think that Jay-Z really cheated, or do you think it's just all this whole big conspiracy thing, or just to amp everything up? I don't think he cheated. I think that's just one of Beyonce's moves that she does.
I think it's both. I would be hard pressed to think that a woman, that a man so high profile in an industry such as music would have not stepped out on his wife. Now, I am under the impression that there's not a shot in the dark that goes on in that house that Beyonce doesn't know about. So when I say cheated, I am under the impression that she's aware that he's done something or someone other than her. Under the impression that she's a businesswoman as well. She would be an idiot to walk away from him. I'm sorry. I'm just going to say it. And she's got a substantial fortune on her own, but it's working. When she became Mrs. Carter, her career, while great, has skyrocketed, has opened up to markets that I don't think she would have become had she not became, quote-unquote, the baddest bitch in the game. This was never her M.O. before him. You know, she was dangerously in love. She went from dangerously in love to crazy in love to Ring Dear Mom to Sasha Fierce and all of that to being drunk in love and rolling down the partition. This Beyonce was not, you know, this wasn't her. So, yeah, I think it's a bit of both. And speaking as an author, do I put some of my relationships in my work? Yes. Do I expand it to make you think? Yes. People have come to me, you know, did your partner really do these things to you? Maybe. That's always my response to them. Maybe. I know I have to know, did this really happen? Maybe. Or they say to me, was this real? And I always say to them, did you see this in your mind's eye? Like, could you put yourself in the center of this storm? And they, yeah, then it was real. Real and true are two different things, I've learned.
That's true.
These real, raw emotions, probably real for her, absolutely. Did he probably do something to spark these real, raw emotions in her? Probably. Did she spin it to being one of the best-selling albums of 2016? Yes. Marketing.
Right. I think that everything that Beyonce does is planned out. Like, she knows what she's doing. She knows how to grab attention. Because, you know, in today's music industry, it's hard. You know, if you don't have no catchy hook, if you don't have no catchy hook or nothing like that, especially for R&B singers, like, it's actually big. A rap is really big nowadays. So she has to do something out of the ordinary to you know, capture people's eyes and make them listen. And that's like when she dropped all them videos all in 1 week. You know, that's what she does. She's got to get a big reaction out of people. That's how she sells albums, too. That's what she's doing.
I think it's more than making people listen, and it's a lot more like, I got to make people talk. Because, again, speaking as a businesswoman, you know, there's no such thing, to me, there's no such thing as bad publicity. And that's going to segue into our big topic. There's no such thing as bad publicity. Talking is talking. So whether they're saying that this is the most effed up thing I have ever heard, I have never heard something so crazy, people are going to want to know what it was that sparked this reaction out of this person, or it was the greatest thing I've ever heard. Honey, it snatched my edges off, or whatever the children are saying these days. And I got to say, damn, what was that to make? I mean, she took Prince's blueprint. Let's keep it 100. Because Prince made you talk about him no matter what he did, no matter how he did it. People had to talk about Prince. Like, you know, the man has been, what, about a week now? People are still talking about, he's still trending like he passed.
Yeah.
You know, so that's her angle. It's like, I got to make people talk about me. What can I do? So let me let people speculate if there was some infidelity in my marriage. And then let me, in the hearts of women who are lonely, are angry, are bitter, are going through a rough patch, need some help, need some hope, let me give them something to cling to. That was this whole lemonade thing, as I understand it. Again, she's going to have to give me 2 weeks. Let me marinate my man dying, and I'll go listen. Let me take my purple extensions out because I have them. I have my purple extensions in for him.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that was trending for a while, the whole Prince thing. I was trending.
Yeah.
And it still is trending.
It's still trending.
Because when you think the Prince, you think of Michael Jackson, too, and how they were both legendary. Like, people were crying when he passed, fans and everything, which is heartbroken violence. So, I haven't seen people cry over Prince, too. It was amazing. I mean, you would have thought people, you know, really knew him.
You know, I was, the one thing I said when Prince passed was that I felt like I lost a lover. And that is an odd thing to say for someone as young as I am, because my mother listened to Prince, and, you know, that was her time. But I really felt like I lost a lover. To me, Prince made it okay for me to be black, for me to be kinky, for me to be bold, for me to be sexually free and liberating, and for me to be in your face and unapologetic about it. From, like I said, Get Off to Darling Nikki to Do Me Baby, and don't think that I didn't know that he sang songs that had absolutely nothing to do with sex. But those are the ones that stuck out even at eight when I was watching the Cream video when he was dancing with the two girls where he, you know, where one of them said, I see he wants some of yours but not some of mine. And at eight, I'm like, could this happen? Could this? They look okay. And, the interviewer came up and was like, are y'all having an affair with Prince? Y'all, the two of you. And they were like, yes. I'm like, oh, my gosh. At eight, I'm like, this could be. And as everybody knows, and if you don't know, I'm poly. So I'm like, from eight, I had somebody to look to say, he did it, shit, I could do it too. So, yeah, I felt like I lost a lover. I lost someone who touched me in such a way that I don't think anybody else, musician-wise, could touch me. As a youngster.
Wow.
I did.
Wow.
But I think I felt like that when Michael Jackson died because I grew up listening to Michael Jackson. That's what I know. That's what I remember. I remember a little bit of Prince, but not too much. I grew up listening to, I'm an 80s baby, so
right.
I remember, you know, listening to Michael a whole lot. And when he died, I can't even lie, I cried. I felt like I lost a family member or something.
I listened to Mike, but not the way I listened to Prince.
Yeah, see, depends on what era you grew up in, too. So,
I'm an 80s baby. I was born in 83. I just turned 33 on the 12th.
Wow. I don't remember Prince too much. I really don't.
When he changed into the symbol. I remember when he became the artist formerly known as.
Wow.
I remember. I remember falling asleep to Diamonds and Pearls. When I'm in the DMV, so 95.5 used to have a clip of music where it was just slow jams, and they used to play Diamonds and Pearls every night. I couldn't fall asleep until I heard it. So I would be up to 10, 11 o'clock at night, again, at 10 and 12, waiting for Diamonds and Pearls to play.
What is your top five Prince songs?
My top five Prince songs. Let me say this to all of my Prince fans out there because they're going to say to me, she's narrowing the scope on Prince, and I'm not. I understand that he had a vast catalog. But to answer your question, and this is in no particular order, Cream, Sexy Motherfucker, Get Off, Darling Nikki, Diamonds and Pearls. And four of those five songs were about sex, but this was a man in heels talking about, like, get your big ass around this way so I can work on that zip. I mean, passion. We ain't even got to go nowhere. I could throw you up against the parking meter. Just imagine me like Fred Sanford. Elizabeth, I'm coming to join you, honey. But, Adore and, Raspberry Beret and Little Red Corvette and 1999 and Let's Go Crazy. I understand that his catalog was vast, but it is always in that tunnel. I mean, like, I listened to Darling Nikki on loop.
Jeez.
Just because he said he met a girl masturbating with a magazine. Did you now?
He was a nasty man.
And he was like, he went to her room and she had every gadget known to man. And I was like, Richie. Now, you know, at my age, I didn't know what the gadgets were, but I want to.
Well, I did not know he was that nasty. I really did not.
Oh, girl. And it, and I think the thing that I respect about him that I don't necessarily did with the new artist was no matter how raw and raunchy and, you know, a vulgar he got, there was always still a very mystical and mysterious thing about him that made you look at him and go, so are you really this dirty? Are you? I have to know. And he never did, you know, confirm or deny. You know, but he, it was like, well, ah, if you were, you know, call me for a funky good time. I can climb like Nicki. That's my love of Prince. So that's why I said I've got my purple extensions in. I've decided to get his love symbol tatted on me somewhere like this. Yeah.
Wow.
I feel like I lost the man I lost my virginity to. That's how this is.
And so that detail.
Yes. Because again, I'll say this was the man who, in my brain, when I was, you know, crescendoing into puberty, I got this man who is, you know, he's a beautiful man. He really was a beautiful man. Them eyes, good Lord. And I've got this man, you know, who is in the 90s, who is talking about sex, listen, I get that. And if I were you, I'd get down too. And I'm like, okay, this is not just a thing that, you know, our Caucasian counterparts do. This, we can do this too. Look at Prince.
I heard that Prince, he had a child, but it died at birth. Did you hear about that?
I remember that. I remember it was like, I want to say 95, 96-ish. I remember because, again, here, PGC, WPGC, here in the DMV is like the biggest, one of the biggest radio shows, or at least it was at the time, and they just were looping him all day. Yes, the confirmation has come in. Princess son has died. And, you know, that's a gut check to, you know, I must have been about 13 at the time, that the man's son has died. And then a couple of months later, she miscarried. So they lost two children in the course of their marriage. I remember them playing his music all that day, the day that his son died. I remember they just kept saying it because I remember thinking, okay, we got it. We heard. But they must have said that like all day.
So he didn't have any more children?
Mm-mm. Would you have wanted any more?
No, that's true. I mean, these two. That's crazy.
So no, we didn't have any more children, but yeah, me and Prince walked through some stuff.
Wow.
I remember when he performed for the Super Bowl, that damn rain and that sheet.
Yeah, I remember that one. He threw down.
Yeah, if it's one regret that I will always have is that I never got to see him in person.
I can't believe it. As big a fan as you are, you never got to see him
in person. It just, I mean, at the time where he was at his absolute height, I was too young
mm-hmm.
to go to a Prince concert. And then by the time I've got of age, he slowed down in performing. So now we're get to see him.
I wonder if he was still touring before he died.
He was. He was touring. But here in the DMV, not so much. Because he had canceled some dates before he got sick. So it was one of those things where you kind of like New Edition and, you know, people like that that were still performing, you probably had to fly out to him to see him perform places like Vegas, California, you know, places like that.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, and I just think about him as a man and how little he was and how he was just such a stick of dynamite. And if he ever had an issue with somebody, you were never going to be confused about the issue he may or may not have had with you. Unlike this fool we need to talk about now.
The ferment. Yes, the audio is in. We definitely have to listen to this first, and then we will talk about it. I saw it. I heard it a few times. I laughed every time I heard it.
I just tonight. You know, when I came on, I was like, I have to listen to it. Because, again, like I said, I've been mourning. And I listened to it. I'm like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. You have to. Not now. Not now.
Oh, God, I can't take it. So let me play this. And then we will discuss this after we hear it. Let me put this on.
You're watching The Breakfast Club.
Y'all ready?
Yes, sir.
I want to start this shit off straight, telling all three of y'all, stop playing with my name.
Go on there. Let's go.
Stop playing with my fucking name.
Let's go. Let's do it on camera.
Stop playing with my name.
Let's
I ain't
go
gonna
right
say
on
it. Nigga, when my name come up, respect it.
Let's go.
Stop playing with my fucking name. All three of y'all, stop playing with my name. I ain't gonna say it no more.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne the Guy. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
He done cursed us out. Tell him, get it off your chest, Birdman.
Stand it already. I ain't got to talk no more.
Because I don't understand the angle. Like what?
Stand it already.
So why come here?
I did it already. I'm here. So what's happening?
I mean, it's all good, but I'm saying
here.
Why?
And I'm here. What's happening?
I'm all good, but
man,
I'm saying why come
that,
here
man.
Just
look,
to
I'm
curse
here.
Us
what's
up?
What's happening, man? I wanted to see you. I wanted to talk to you on your man and your face.
Absolutely.
You understand me? I knew a few places you was at. I could have pulled up, but I don't think that was gangster. I wanted to come look in your face like a man and tell you how I feel.
Okay.
You understand me? Straight up like a man.
So
no
what's
shit,
the issue?
No sugar. Ain't no issue. If it was an issue, you'll feel me. I just come to let y'all know, stop, put some respect on my name. You understand me? When y'all saying my name, put some respect on it.
Did you pull up on Ross that way or Trick Daddy?
Man, I'm pulling up on you, nigga.
Yeah. But I'm the radio guy. Why
I
pull up on the radio guy? Don't act tough with the radio guy.
I hate my nigga. Y'all finished or y'all done? I ain't got no more talking. Let's rock.
All right, Buck. See you later, nigga. Yeah?
Well, grand opening, grand closing.
All right, well, there you have it.
Nah, we good. You know,
there you have
man,
it.
Man, what about all my notes?
We good. That's it. Damn, quickest
man.
Breakfast Club interview ever.
For that. Well, that's the Breakfast Club. Good
morning.
Our interview ever.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The Breakfast Club, every weekday morning. Tune in.
I did not start laughing. And the video is so much funnier when you see him walk in and his face
and he's folding his arms. God put me so respectful. You know, this.
I. I guess because I don't necessarily keep up with rap pop culture. There are very few rappers that I listen to and keep up with. And he is not one of them, nor is anybody from his camp.
Yeah.
He's a mess. I mean, don't get me wrong. He was a mess when he was doing business with Juvenile, and he was a mess when he was doing business with Wayne. But to see him now, I'm like, oh, my God, what have you been smoking? Because good Lord.
He's been smoking something. I knew he was going to start something because they talk, like, you know, they talk about him a lot. Everybody talks about him. People have said he's gay. I've seen, like, little videos, little pictures of him kissing a man and all of it.
That kiss between him and Wayne was a bit suspect. I ain't a lot of kicking. Father or not. But okay. We kind of let that slide. We was like, oh, okay, we'll just let that be that.
Like, he literally walked in and just started. He needs to stop saying my name. Like, what? And all the faces. And their faces are just like, what? Like, what is wrong with you? Sit down, you know, relax. Like, let's talk about this.
There were a couple of bits of this video that as I watched, and I watched it twice, there were a couple of things that I had an issue with. But again, like I said, I don't follow him, and I'm really not up on rap culture, so I did not know that he was, like, the butt of a lot of jokes. So in that sense, I understand him saying, listen, I'm going to need y'all to stop playing with me. but that is something that could have been handled, like I said, in a different way. It could have just been, hey, I'm going to come in here. Let me talk to y'all literally off camera before this interview starts. I really don't want no shit.
Right. He didn't have to act like that. Then he had his whole entourage with him. You know, like,
right.
They get jump everybody in the plays.
And that was the other thing. And now that let me preface that with this. I am one of the most feminist, the most militant feminist you'll ever talk to. I am a militant feminist. However, there was a woman in that room. For you to be acting like you getting ready to act with a woman in the room, like you were getting ready to just pop off some bullets at any moment, I'm like, who raised you? Who raised you? But, you know, but I tell you what, he's relevant again because he has become the face of many a joke.
Well, supposedly he had called and apologized to all them behind the scenes. So I guess, well, he probably did that because he got dogged on social media. Like, it was everywhere. Like, he got dogged everywhere for that. Because, you know, the Breakfast Club is big. Like, everybody looks, for him to act like that, he just made himself look dumb.
Now, let me play devil's advocate, and I may, you know, if we get a call in or whatever, I might get dragged for this. He said what he said, okay? And essentially it was over. Listen, I want y'all to stop playing with me. I want some respect while I'm here. And then the one guy, I believe they had Charlemagne, or however his name is said, he was like, what's the issue? He was like, there is no issue anymore. I said what I said. I'm here to talk to y'all. What's up? And he was like, well, I'm just trying to figure out the angle. Why did you cut here and cut this out? And he was like, listen, I've already said what I'm going to say. To me, this issue is dead. So let's go ahead and continue on what we're doing. And they just kept pushing. So now I'm like, so now you're instigating. So I'm not going to lie. I would have got up and left it. Like, wait a minute, goddamn it.
His big problem was, well, supposedly, of what I heard is, like, Trick Daddy had came on the show. That's why he had said something about, like, Trick Daddy and Rick Ross. And he said, well, he was interviewing Trick Daddy, and supposedly he had asked him about Birdman, and, you know, Trick Daddy had stated how he felt about him. And that was it. It wasn't just like they were dogging him. It wasn't nothing like that. I mean, people have dogged him. It's not just, you know, the Breakfast Club that have. He's been over social media for a minute.
Uh-huh.
So I guess that people have been saying a lot of shit about him. And they have asked a lot of people that, you know, come in and they interview. They've asked him about Birdman and how he feel about him and all this and all that. But he's had to have beef with a lot of people. And so all they do is interview the people and ask them how they feel. They say what they want to say.
Right.
I guess that's why.
I mean, I can dig all of that.
Yeah. So I guess that's why.
I'm playing devil's advocate on his side because I don't like the way, you know, I'm just guessing that they have followed, you know, they were just doing what they do. I don't follow the Breakfast Club, but I've heard Charlamagne's name whispered more than once and more than twice as an instigator.
Oh, so, he can't be. I mean, that's what makes their show. You know, they speak their mind. If he got something he wants to ask you, he's going to ask it straight up.
Oh, that's fine.
But yeah,
that's,
I mean, that's how things started. That's exactly how things get started, but. Berman's been everywhere, and he did to himself, talking about people, you know, threatening people, and then he can't even back nothing up. You know, he's threatened people a lot of times and never did anything about it. So, and now he's threatening them, which he ain't going to do nothing about it. But at least he apologized. Now, if that was you, you were that female in there, I mean, and he called and apologized, would you accept his apology?
I mean, I guess. I you know, I'm just speaking in the context of not knowing the history of the situation. I'm going to guess that, yeah, I'd accept it. I mean, we've all been in heated moments before where we, you know, flapped off at our mouths. The problem that a lot of people don't realize is this is the age of social media. It don't take but an hour for something to go viral.
Exactly.
You know, for the Breakfast Club and how many of their followers, you know, for them to hit the trifecta of social media, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram and all the ones that the children use, I don't remember. Tumblr and, you know, Snapchat, whatever these, you know, whatever the kids are using. It doesn't take. I know my radio page has over 800 followers. My author's page has another 500 followers. And then my company page has another 150 followers. So I've got, what, 1,000 followers just right there in my trifecta. Not to mention that my Twitter page has, you know, how many followers I have there. And my friends list is, what, 600 friends. So if I tweeted, you know, if I said one thing, I have 600 people who could potentially put it on their page and, you know, so forth and so on. So, yeah, we're talking about you being the ass of a joke within an hour. because I do remember seeing, I remember seeing the clip. I didn't push play, but I remember seeing them say it, and it couldn't have been, you know, couldn't have been too much longer after it happened. So, you know, people have to watch their mouths, but the fact of the matter is human emotion is human emotion. People fly off the handle, and then they deal with the consequences after. I would have accepted his apology. I don't know if I want to be in the same room with the motherfucker again. But I would have accepted
him. And he knows that because he's been a part of a lot of crap that's been going on. Like, he's been the talk for a while because he says stupid stuff like this. He acts a fool, and then I don't respect him. I don't respect him. He went in there acting crazy, trying to act all gangster and everything. You know, threatening them and everything. That's not the way to act. You know, just like you say, you take a person to the side and you talk to them before the show even airs and say, look, we got problems, you know.
Right.
And we need to get this out of the air before we even start this interview because I feel some type of way. Let's get this straight. Because he's only making it.
But now he did do that because he said it. And then the bald-headed one, the one without the hat, the bald-headed one was like, we'll say that on camera. And I was like, well, see, now wait a minute. Now, of course, nobody else is going to break this down the way I am because people are reactionary. But he said all of these things prior to the cameras rolling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did. So, that's true.
So they was like, yo, say this on camera. Yeah, nah, say that on camera. And the next thing I know, the cameras were rolling. So I think he had already said something like, hey, check it. We got us a situation.
right.
You know, it's just, whatever drug he's on, I actually feel bad for him because whatever drug he's on, whatever drug Wayne is on, whatever's happening in their body is just coming out and God, it makes for a mess.
It does, but celebrities are known for doing drugs. So, you see legendary people that are passing now, and all of a sudden all this stuff is coming up where they're taking, you know, the popping pills and everything else. Just like I've seen something on Dr. Phil where they're talking about Bobby Christina now and how she was on heroin. She was on heroin. She was popping pills. You know, she had lost her mom. So probably really affected her and it led her to drugs. Because, you know, being a celebrity, easy access for them. They got all the money in the world. They can get that anything.
Yeah, money is, you know, because I was speaking to someone about Chris Brown, and I remember prior to the Rihanna incident, he did, what is the name of that movie? This Christmas. And they did an interview with Regina Hall. And Regina Hall said he's a burst of energy. We could not keep him still. He was dancing and jumping and flipping. And I remember saying to someone, I'm guessing probably already hyperactive, but just guessing on his schedule. He was doing movies, he was doing music, he was doing commercials. He, you know, he has to be seen at this place and that place and this place because nobody wants to think that they got snubbed by the top guy. So they were probably giving him something to keep him awake on top of the fact that he was already hyperactive. So instead of giving him whatever upper they were giving him to keep him awake, he should have been on Ritalin to bring, you know, to bring him down. And that's probably what blew up into what happened with the Rihanna thing. So I'm guessing that whatever went on, what is ever going on with this fool that's got him babbling, I'm going to stop calling him a fool. Definitely. whatever was screwed up with him before, keep it 100. Didn't he split ways with Wayne?
Yeah, he did, because supposedly he owed Lil Wayne money. So
yeah,
that would blow out with them. He owed Lil Wayne money.
Oh, money and friendship. So he split with his cash cow, essentially, because ain't nobody checking for the next Birdman album.
Right.
He split with his cash cow, who then became the trifecta, because his cash cow brought in Drake, Nicki Minaj, and somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
somebody else over there. Yeah, so you split with the man who was essentially making you rich. So, Lord knows what's going through his veins. And then all them goddamn tattoos. I looked at him and I was just like, are a shell of your former self. You weren't all that great looking to begin with, but Lord knows. Woo! So essentially we've got the difference between him and, you know, when I say I don't think that Prince was doing what he was doing recreationally, if the rumors are true that he was indeed had a Percocet addiction, I believe that it was strictly because he was in pain versus this being a recreational thing like this. Didn't I just say I was going to stop calling him a fool?
Yeah. Yeah, it probably is. I mean, the whole Michael Jackson thing and all the celebrities are doing it. So it would not surprise me if Prince was, you know, popping, mm-hmm. because they said he has been sick for a long time. And let's say is the flu, but I don't think it was no flu.
I don't think it was the flu. In order for it to have been the flu, they would have to admit that his immunosystem had been severely suppressed. And there are only a couple of reasons I could think of that happening, and I just wouldn't be able to buy that.
So he was older, he was getting up there, just like Michael, and I don't know what is going on, but I think there was actually, with Prince, and I think there was two other celebrities that passed all in the same week. Something is going on behind.
There's a lot of conspiracy theories about why, you know, this is happening. But you know, he was a private person, so I doubt we'll ever get the real story. I'll be honest, I don't want it. I don't want the real story. I just want his music. That sounds so crazy. I'm sorry. I just want his music. I just want his legacy.
I know. It's a
shame. I want to dance in the purple rain.
I only watched that movie like 2 times. And when he passed,
I wasn't all that interested in the movie.
Yeah.
The soundtrack, though.
How old was he in that movie? I think he was really young.
Yeah, he could. I'm believing he was probably in his 20s somewhere.
Yeah, he looked really, really young. Is that woman played with him in that movie? Did he marry her?
No, but he was dating her.
That's what I thought.
Miss Apollonia. That bitch was bad. If I was gay, I would have did her.
Yeah, she was bad. She was bad.
I might have did her, and I'm not gay. Just to say, just to get some residual prints.
Oh, wow.
Oh, goodness. The week in music, right? We have had the trifecta, the good, the bad, and the downright ugly.
Okay, so Purple Rain was released in 1984. Wow. I was born in 83. Wow.
Yeah, so just to give you an idea, I think that, like, the Diamonds and Pearls album was 91, so I would have had to have been about eight, and yeah, I can clearly remember singing all the songs that I mentioned. Probably had no business singing them, had no idea what I was singing them, but I was in it. No, I didn't know, but I knew I had to be singing it. To this day, I mean, there's not a week that goes by, literally, there's not a week that goes by that I don't listen to Get Off at least once.
Wow.
At least.
Wow. It is very sad. Very, very sad.
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm going to do next week's show. I was going to do it this week, but I couldn't get myself together to do it this week. But next week, I think I'm going to really just, you know, I'm going to hit Prince hard. I'm going to talk about, you know, sexually, what he, you know, meant to so many of us. But we got our groove back. I mean, I learned that my little sister wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Purple Rain. So
I probably wouldn't exist with either. I am saying. Because I see my mom jamming too. I say, oh, does this bring back memories? She said, oh, yes, it does. That's a wow.
I'm a classically trained violinist, so somebody who knows music to know that he was a prodigy, that he taught himself the piano and the drums and the guitars. Oh! That man is just, everybody else, just a stand-in. They're my Prince surrogate, as far as I'm concerned. Like, you're just here because he couldn't be.
Right. But the one thing that I did see about him is that he didn't want to be known for, a rock artist or an R&B singer. He didn't want to be classified as just one thing.
Uh-uh.
And I've seen in an interview that he never wanted to be classified in just one category. Because he was a little bit of everything.
Exactly.
So.
I think the most profound thing that we can say about him is literally, he was Prince.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only category for him. He was Prince. Bam. Everybody knows. Everybody has in their head what he was when you say that. I remember somebody putting up on Facebook that Pornhub.com, when he died, when they finally confirmed that he died, they took the P down out of their logo and they put his sign up.
Oh, wow.
You got to be, listen, the porn industry was like, that's a fact. We couldn't do what we do without him. Let's just go ahead and put him up. That is how.
That's crazy.
The world lit up purple for him. The world, Niagara Falls, the Eiffel Tower, the Empire State Building. the world lit purple for him. You just, that's it. That's all I'm really going to say. I'm going to shut up talking. Because that's all you can really say.
Wow. Rest in peace, Prince. You were definitely, definitely legendary. Definitely.
Yes, rest in peace.
But before we get out of here, I'm sorry. He's in the background. And he's telling me things. He's telling me what to do as usual. Like he can't speak, so he's telling me things. Cause he has a couple more things. He has some, I don't know what he's doing, but he has a couple more things to be done. But I don't know what he's doing. He's crazy to me. Tay is sick. He is coming down with the sexual blues. He hasn't had sex in a long time.
Oh my god! I cannot believe you went there. You need to want to be ashamed. That's what you need to want to do.
Okay, he has a clip. He has a clip that he wants to play. It is okay. So there's Trick Daddy. You know how in that little clip, they mentioned like Trick Daddy and Rick Ross was a little joke, and there is a Trick Daddy has a diss for Birdman, and this is one of the reasons why Birdman was mad. The one reason why Trick Daddy came on the Breakfast Club show, and they were interviewing him about Birdman, and they were talking about Trick Daddy's diss on him. So we have on here that he wants to be played.
Okay.
So let's play this. If I can find it really quickly, we'll play that. Oh, here it is. We're going to play this Trick Daddy dissing Birdman. So we're getting ready to play that.
Okay.
When you try to be a CEO, and you try to be a rapper, and you try to be a ladies' man, and you try to be a girlfriend, and you try to
be a girlfriend,
a Crip and a Blood.
You trying to be a girlfriend?
Why you call him a girlfriend?
I got it from the street. When you try to be a CEO, and you try to be a rapper, and you try to be a ladies' man, and you try to be a girlfriend, and you try
to be a girlfriend,
a Crip and a Blood.
You trying to be a girlfriend?
Why you call him a girlfriend?
I got it from the street.
All right, Corey.
Yeah,
I had to. Lizzy got some dick to go get, so, you know what I mean? I'm in the background, sick, trying to hold it down, you know, trying to get better, but she had to go get some pipe, you know what I mean? So.
Oh, it's okay. I got to go wash
you know what
my...
I mean? No. So I'm going to go ahead and take over. She's sitting here cussing me out on the inbox. You know, I'm over here sick trying to hold it down, trying to, you know, she's cussing me out on inbox, so I told her just go ahead. You know,
wait,
I told her just go ahead.
Wait,
go ahead and.
Hey,
go ahead and do your thing. You know what I mean? I'll take it from here. It's almost time to wrap up anyway.
Yeah, as I said, I got to go because I got some to get tomorrow, too. So we got to do things us ladies do.
Yeah, hey, Corey, you know, definitely appreciate you coming on, holding it down.
No,
I have one more audio to play, but, you know, if I already know Nizzy got to go. Corey, if you got to go, too, I'll still play it. You know, y'all already held it down, so y'all both got, I know Nizzy got to go. If you got to go too, Corey, I'll go ahead and play it and discuss it briefly, and we'll just wrap up like that. Because it all kind of was just crazy how everything behind the scenes to even get this show done tonight was just crazy. Last minute, hit Corey up at the last minute, and me and Nizzy, the miscommunication, Nizzy had to postpone her date, all types of stuff going on. I took some Tylenol. I feel a little better. Right now, I had a crazy migraine. I feel better. That Tylenol did his job, so, you know. We already know Dizzy probably got a dick in her mouth right now, but Corey, if you got to go, then, you know, man, that's cool. You feel me?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's pretty much that time anyway, but I do got another audio to play.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead, but thank you guys for having me.
Oh, no problem.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it, definitely.
No problem.
And you know I owed you that. You know I owed you sitting there talking smack. I would have kept it peaceful, but you want to be talking smack, so two can play that game.
Okay. I'm going to go.
No.
I'll see y'all later.
No, go ahead. Now, go ahead, Nizzy. Go ahead and finish eating your Polish sausage, Nizzy.
Hey.
Go ahead. Go finish doing your thing. No, I appreciate you, though, in all actuality. Even though you tried to throw shade at me, I appreciate you, too, for doing the best you can. And I know you had a hot date, and it's on hold, and you did the best you could. So I do appreciate it.
Oh, whatever.
Go ahead and do your thing. I'll take over from here. It's almost time to wrap up anyway. I got this. Sick and all, I'm going to do it like a G.
Okay, well, you do it then.
All right, go ahead. I'll let you later. So, yeah, basically, like the ladies was discussing, Birdman, you know, the whole thing is crazy. They pretty much put it all in perspective, you know what I mean? So it's not too much, you know, more to even say. It's definitely hilarious. But I got to play this Michael Blackston audio real quick. It was just too funny to impress it. When he was imitating Birdman, we got to play this real quick just for the listeners because we do this for y'all. I could have wrapped it up real quick, but I'm like, I'm telling Nizzy, we inboxing. I'm telling Nizzy, like, hold up, we got to play that. You know what I mean? We, you know, thrown together the last minute and everything. Got to try to bring you the, you know, the best content possible, especially since, you know, we're wrapping up early tonight due to multiple technicalities, all types of stuff from Corey coming on at the last minute to fill my spot, the Nizzy postponing her date, all types of stuff. I'm sick, you know, all types of stuff going on. So I want to play this Michael Blackston audio real quick. This was too funny. And for those who didn't hear it yet, and I know we got some people listening on iTunes, some people that's listening on BTR that might ain't hear it yet, you know, it's on YouTube. Got to play this real quick. So check this out.
Indeed. In the studio.
Yeah, Michael Blackston, what's up, bro?
You got to respect my name.
What?
You ever hear my name, you respect my fucking name.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, don't fuck with me, you punk bitch niggas.
Hey, yo, hold up.
Yeah, you're not going to do this.
What's wrong?
Did you pull up on Kevin Hart and Cat Williams?
Mind your fucking business. The beaver have other niggas, my beaver have other niggas. You look in my face when I take my glasses off like a man. You talk to me like a man.
Hey, man, you ain't
fuck that short nigga, both of them, okay?
You ain't say nothing to my caps, though.
Fuck all them niggas. It's not the problem I have with other niggas. I know I pick my battle. If I can't beat a nigga, I'm not going to fuck with the nigga. If I fuck with you, because I know I can fuck you up. I almost pulled up on you one time, but you're lucky I was in my really bitch move, and I didn't really fight fighting because I just got my ass whooped a week before. And I'm like, fuck all the bullshit.
But you're here now. You're here now.
I know I'm here now. Keep your fuck, all three of you. All my mouth. Your name should not come out of your mouth. Whatever fucking shit is in your mouth, put some shit in your mouth and shut your mouth when you see my face. This interview is over. Let's go, my
I mean, that's how you gonna walk out like that?
Fuck all of you. Fuck everybody. Three times the square root of kiss my ass.
Nigga, when my name come up, respect it.
Let's go.
Stop playing with my fucking name. All three of y'all, stop playing with my name. I ain't gonna say it no more.
But I'm saying, why come here just to curse us up?
What's happening, man? I wanted to see you.
I didn't even know that Birdman part was on there at the end. That was funny. I want to laugh right now, but I'm too sick. If I laugh right now, it's going to sound disastrous. So I'm trying to hold my laugh, man. You know, and that's pretty much the other audio that I wanted to play before we wrapped up. You know, of course, Nizzy started cussing me out on the inbox, and then I had to come on and... You know, I ain't want the show to end awkwardly. Nizzy got to go and all of this and can't wrap it up the right way. You know what I mean? And pretty much we just, you know, we try to bring y'all the best content possible. Like, so much stuff going on in our personal lives, and we do our best to make it happen, you know. And, you know, we pretty much do this for the love because it's not much benefit other than the love of it. You know what I mean? The love of doing it is it's really the... The benefit of doing it, you know what I mean? It's not like we're sitting here balling, making dough off of this or nothing. We doing this for the love of, it's the passion. We trying to entertain y'all the best way possible. So at the last minute, while the show was on, my computer all jacked up. I'm sitting here downloading audio, trying to get it uploaded while the show was actually airing, and we on a tight schedule. Me not knowing exactly how much time Nizzy got or Corey got. You know, they both made the sacrifice, especially Corey, because Corey has our own BTR show, you know, which she didn't even get a chance to really promote. But I'll include Corey's show. I'm sick. I can't think of, like, you know, I know it's a part of Erotic. Is it Erotic Talk Radio? I'll include it in a link. I know she's associated with the Erotic Talk Radio show, which is by Jay on BTR. But the her show was called something different. Forgive me, Corey, I can't think of the name of it, but when I get it, I'll include the link in the show. And I'll include her show link and this show link when I get it. Basically she covers it. For those who don't know, you've been tuning in to us for a while, you know, but if not, then she covers all this, you know, sex show stuff, like, you know, all the kinky stuff, master, slave, sexual, I don't know, sacrifices, I don't know, all this, Corey's into that other stuff, you know, whips and chains and lashes and all that crazy stuff, leather and all of that stuff, you know, yeah, yeah, that's what Corey's into, all of that. She got a show and, you know, they got their own little community and all that stuff, like, I'll include it in the link and, yeah, check it out for yourself. She definitely has a good show, you know. And, yeah, I'll make sure I include it in the link. But I appreciate everybody for tuning in. I'm under the weather right now. I should be back next week. This is your boy, Tay Real. That was Nizzy Nay and Corey holding it down. Nizzy Nay, my good co-host, and Corey. You know, I feel bad. I can't remember the name of our show, but like I said, I'll include it in the link. You know, and I'm, yeah, man, the whole Birdman thing was crazy. I ain't really get a chance to give my piece, and me being such a hip-hop head, it was a last-minute thing, came up with it today. I wasn't even home, personal things attend to. Then I got sick while I was out, and it was crazy. But basically, my opinion real quick, Birdman was bugging. Everybody have their days. Birdman was bugging. They say he called and, you know, to apologize. The bald-headed man that Corey couldn't think, whose name Corey couldn't come up with is actually Charlamagne. You know, Charlamagne, DJ Envy, and Angela Yee are the three. I think it's, you know, definitely was, I think that, you know, if Birdman had to do over, he, if anything, he would have excluded the lady. He said all three of y'all. All three of y'all, including Angela Yee, the lady, you know, and that, you know, you're saying that's gangster. It's not gangster to, like, hard-press a woman, you know what I mean? That's not gangster, you know. But I'm sure that Birdman, you know, they Breakfast Club themselves. You can find the audio right on YouTube. They said it, that he called them, you know, apologize, and I think even said that he want to come back and clear everything up or whatever. if he will come back, if they'll let him come back on, that remains to be seen. But they're getting so many views off of it. This is good radio. It's good ratings. Like, I think when I downloaded it, it had 7 million views already. It only been like a week. 7 million views already. Them Breakfast Club interviews never get millions of views. You'll go on YouTube, you'll see, like, the bigger names have a few hundred thousand. Maybe a few here and there might have a million. I never seen a Breakfast Club interview with anywhere near 7 million. That's crazy. But we all know controversy sells. There's a lot of controversy behind that, but it's, like, funny. Like, nobody really takes it seriously. Like, oh, man, they better watch that back. It's more like funny because Birdman's sitting there with his arms crossed and his lip pulled out. And it's just funny. Like Nizzy said, the audio doesn't even do it as much justice as actually watching it. It's hilarious. It's hilarious. It's hilarious, you know. And, you know, you got to give Cash Money credit. They have done a lot in the culture over the past, what, pretty much 20 years when Wayne first came out and Cash Money, the whole BG and Juvenile and even Young Turk was popping. And they, you know, they have their spot solidified in hip-hop, you know, especially as far as bringing New Orleans on the map along with No Limit. You know what I mean? So Birdman said put some respect on it. Respect, so respect it. You know, and yeah, that's what it is, man. So that's what it is, and you know, that's the show for tonight. Birdman's Breakfast Club rant, man. Hilarious. And definitely shout out, big shout out to Prince. You know, RIP shout out. Matter of fact, brief moment of silence for Prince. Yeah, that was for Prince, and we would have played some audio from Prince, but Prince's music online is hard to find. When you type in Prince on YouTube, I was reading an article talking about how Prince had made it, like, virtually impossible, like, to get his music, like, to get it online for free. Like, you can't just go on YouTube and try to get it. Like, that's dead. You know, I love this song, Diamonds and Pearls, and I tried for the longest time. I couldn't find it. Like, Prince's music is hard to find. And that only had nothing to do with the hundreds and possibly thousands of songs that are unreleased that the public hasn't gotten to hear yet. You know, but even his released music is hard to find. It's like collector's items. You got, there's no telling how much that stuff is selling for. Now, I know people that own his stuff that want looking on his material, you know, that, you know, looking to make a couple of dollars. I know they probably on eBay and on websites. Woo, auction is crazy right now. That stuff is worth a lot of money. It's hard to find print stuff. I can't find it. Like, it's crazy. Prince's stuff is really hard to find. I can only imagine the greatness he has in his archives that hopefully one day we'll be able to hear before we pass away. You know, because there's a whole, like, you got to read the articles. There's so much. There's not enough time. So I had to do a whole other show talking about the stuff I was reading and all that. But, you know, long story short, big shout out, big RIP shout out to Prince. Also, the mother from, what was it, Everybody Loves Raymond, I believe. That show is the one that passed away. Nizzy was talking about other celebrities that passed away. I believe she's the one. But, yeah, that Prince is something else, you know. And we definitely respect Prince's name, you know what I mean, for sure. You know. So, yeah, man. And that's the show for tonight, man. It's T-Rail. Under the weather, but here doing the best I can, you know. Shout out to Nizzy for holding it down. And big shout out to Corey for coming through. Big shout out to Corey. It's Real Talk Radio. Tay Real, Nizzy Nay, Corey was in the building. Catch y'all next week. Peace.
You've been listening to It's Real Talk Radio with Tay Real and Nizzy Nay. Facebook us at It's Real Talk Radio. Tweet us at It's Real Radio MP.